Matthew chapter number 7, and I'm sure a passage of Scripture, or at least a verse, that I would imagine most of us would be very, very familiar with, and the rule or the principle that God gives to us. As a matter of fact, some that are sitting in here, you probably heard this rule, this principle from the Word of God, even from your parents while you were growing up, from your grandparents perhaps. I would say those that are sitting here that are parents, maybe you've shared it with your children. Maybe grandparents that are sitting in here, you've shared it with your grandparents. Here's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 12. A very, very, very well-known principle in the Bible, but it speaks to how we ought to deal with others and how we ought to consider one another. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. What do we call that? The Scripture calls that, the Bible calls it the golden rule, right? We think of that as the golden rule, and it's a principle, again, we've had shared with us, I'm sure, throughout our time, and then we've also shared it with others as well, haven't we? As men, as you would, that men would do to you, do also to others, considering one another. Now, notice with me, if you would, the very end of this verse after we read the golden rule and that principle that's found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 12. The Bible says this, for this is the law and the prophets. This is the law and the prophets. Well, back in the book of Exodus, the Bible tells us that Moses received the law, didn't he? As a matter of fact, part of that law, it's not limited to just this particular set of rules or laws, but part of that law that was given was what we know of as the Ten Commandments. And the Bible gives to us those Ten Commandments that God gave to the children of Israel, gave to Moses on the top of that mountain. We have those recorded for us in Exodus and chapter number 20. Some may even know those commandments by heart. Some may even have those posted in their house, maybe on a wall. They've got the Ten Commandments written there, just as a reminder of the law and the commandments that God has given to us. Well, the Bible says something about these commandments in the New Testament of our Bible in a unique way. I'm going to have you stay in the book of Matthew, but turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to look at the way that the Bible refers to these Ten Commandments that are given to us by words that Jesus says to us here in Matthew chapter number 22. Would you find Matthew 22 and look towards the end of that chapter at verse number 36. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 36. Remember, we've already read the golden rule. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. So whatever it is that you would desire that men do to you, you're to do to them. And then look at what the Bible says, because he says this is the law and the prophets. Look at what the Bible says about the law that's given, or about the Ten Commandments that are given. The Bible says in Matthew 22, starting in verse number 36, it says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? All right, so they're trying to test him, trying to prove that he has the answers for these questions that they would present to Jesus while he was here during his earthly ministry. And so they challenge him with this question. Out of those commandments that have been given, those commandments that have even been given to Moses and the law that's been given to the children of Israel, what would you say would be the great commandment? Well, notice, Jesus immediately has an answer, doesn't he? Now, there's been times people have asked me questions and I'd have to say to them, well, I'm going to get back with you on that. Let me do a little study. Let me see if I can learn a little bit more about that, and I'd be able to get back to you and try to get an answer to you. But Jesus has the answer, doesn't he? And so there's no question they're going to present to him that's going to trick him or cause him to pause in any way. Jesus has the answer. So what is the answer? What is the great commandment? Notice what the Bible says in verse number 37. I want you to notice this is a verse or two that deals with the Ten Commandments. Look at what he says. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So you asked me what the great commandment was. Well, the great commandment, by the way, these words that we read here in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 37 are found way back in the law as well in the book of Deuteronomy. The words were given, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And so he talks about, what he's talking about here is this. He's talking about our duty to God. What is our duty and what is our responsibility to God? Well, we'll say it this way because he narrows it down for us. We're to love God with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul and all of our strength. He says this is the first and great commandment. Now, what he's speaking about there is the first set of the Ten Commandments. So from commandment number one to commandment number four, we have God giving to us our duty to God. We're to make sure that He is first place in our lives. He tells us that. We're not to have any graven images. We're not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He says to us in the Ten Commandments that we're to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, to make sure that we have a day where we are spending worshiping the Lord and putting Him first in our lives. And so He gives us these principles or these commandments in the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments, our duty and our relationship to God. He says that's the first and great commandment, that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all of our strength. But then he goes on to talk about our duty to man or our neighbor or to one another around us. Now, what does the Bible say back in Matthew chapter 7? As ye would that men would do to you, do ye also to them. We think of that as, again, the golden rule, that we're to treat others the way we would like to be treated. And so notice in the Ten Commandments, the second group of those Ten Commandments, so commandment number five to commandment number 10, which is the last six commandments, he gives to us our duty or our responsibility to man. Now notice how he words it here in Matthew 22. Look down with me, if you would, at verse number 38. This is the first and great commandment. Now verse 39, and the second is like unto it. Now when he says the second commandment, he doesn't literally mean out of the Ten Commandments, commandment number two. But what he does mean is the second group of these Ten Commandments, which speak to our duty of to man, our neighbor, those that are around us. So commandment number five to commandment number 10. And notice what he says in verse number 39. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So just as you love yourself, you're to love your neighbor. So you're to do unto them that which you would have them do unto you. Again, back to the golden rule that we read in Matthew chapter number 7. Now, the last group or the last set of these Ten Commandments from commandment number 5 to commandment number 10 speak to us about our duty to man. So those commandments are the following. We're to honor. The Bible says that children are to honor their father and their mother. That's duty to man, isn't it? Duty to other individuals. Not our duty to God, but our duty to man. Then commandment number 6, thou shalt not kill. That's our responsibility to others around us, right? We're not to take somebody's life. Life is very important. Life is very sacred. We're not to take one another's life. And the Bible even says that if we get to a place where we hate somebody in our heart, it's just as bad and just as serious as murder as well. So we all have a love, one for another. And that's our duty and responsibility that we're not to kill. Then he says we're not to commit adultery. So we're to be faithful in our marriages and to consider how that is our duty to one another. Duty to our spouse, duty to other individuals' spouses, duty to others that are around us. Then he talks about how that we are not to steal. We're not to take that which does not belong to us. Because if we take that which does not belong to us, we're taking that which belongs to someone else. We're hurting someone else when we take that which doesn't belong to us because it belongs to them, doesn't it? And so we're hurting somebody else. So that's our duty to man. Then he says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The Bible's telling us we're not to lie. We're to tell the truth. And we understand it this morning that when we tell a lie to somebody else, it can cause great harm to that person, can it? And so that's our duty to other individuals. Then he finishes the Ten Commandments by saying these words, thou shalt not covet, desiring to have something that somebody else has. And he even talks about the possessions of others that are around you. You're not to covet someone else's belongings or what somebody else has. He gives that to us in the words of Exodus chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments. So he's telling us how to treat others that are around us. How do we treat others that are around us? We treat others around us the same way we desire them to treat us, right? And so I want to present to you this morning, again, as we're making our way and journeying through the Bible about how we should treat others as we're considering one another this year and the one another passages in the Bible, I want to move on in the month of January here. This is our last Sunday in the month of January, last Sunday morning that we'll meet together in the month of January. And I want to present a message to you this morning. I hope it'll be a help to you on some ways that we ought to treat others. Now, again, we're going to look at these passages all throughout the year of 2025 and touch on these things from various passages of Scripture in the Bible. But I want us to look at some ways in which we ought to be mindful of the way we are treating others around us. The Bible says that we're to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. So the first thing I want to challenge you with this morning, and we're going to look at some verses for each of these thoughts this morning. The first thing I want you to challenge you with this morning is this. Number one, we ought to treat others prayerfully. We ought to treat others prayerfully. Throughout the Bible talks to us about how that we ought to be praying for one another. Now there's a word that we use to describe that. We use the word intercession. If we are interceding on behalf of somebody, or we pray a prayer of intercession, or a prayer, the Bible uses the word also supplication. We are praying a prayer of supplication, or we're praying a prayer of intercession. What are we doing? We are praying on behalf of others that are around us. We are seeking God's mercy for them. We are seeking God's guidance in their life. We are seeking God's intervention in the lives of others that are around us. By the way, I encourage you already to take one of our prayer sheets that's on the back table. What you will find on our prayer sheet is a list of names, individuals that we are praying for. Now, not every prayer request on there is a name, but there are many names that are on there, some in our church family that we want to pray prayers of intercession for. Some on our cancer list that we want to pray prayers of supplication for. We ought to treat others prayerfully. Now the Bible says this in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 20. The Bible says we are to bear one another's burdens. We are to bear the burdens of one another. Now, does that mean that everything God is asking us to do in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2, when he says that we're to bear one another's burdens, is to pray and stop at that? No, I don't believe that's what he means there when he says we are to bear one another's burdens. But I do believe that prayer is part of that. Now, we certainly can go steps further and say, hey, what can I do to encourage you? Or is there anything I might be able to bring by the house to be a blessing to you? Or what could I do to be an extra help? But to let individuals know, one of the things that I'm trying to do to bear your burdens for you is I'm trying to take your name, to the throne of grace. And I'm trying to pray to you and pray prayers of intercession and prayers of supplication. Now, would you take your Bible and would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning? Ephesians chapter 6. And let's notice what the Bible says about our prayers for one another. We're going to take a journey through the Bible here for just a few moments. And we're going to look at what the Bible says about prayers for one another. Ephesians chapter 6. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18. And we're going to read this verse to go along with this thought that we ought to treat others prayerfully. We ought to bear one another's burdens. One of the ways we do that is by praying for one another. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18 says this, praying always with all prayer and, here's the word, supplication. Again, a prayer of intercession. A prayer of supplication is us praying on behalf of somebody else. So he says, we're to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. What are the last three words? For all saints, the Bible says. For all saints. He's encouraging us to have the ministry of prayer in our lives. That we would treat others prayerfully and we would be praying for the saints that are around us. Now, take your Bible, if you would, and look at 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and we're going to look at what Paul encourages us to do with our prayers in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. He says this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Paul is saying these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, there's that word again, supplications, prayers of supplication, prayers, intercessions. There's that word also. We use that word intercessions. We've already talked about that. The word supplication as well. He says that supplications, prayers, intercessions. Now watch this. And giving of thanks be made, what are the last three words? For all men. The Bible's encouraging us there in that verse to have the ministry of prayer. That we would be praying prayers of intercession. We'd be praying prayers of supplication for others that are around us. We need to treat others prayerfully. Can I ask you to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of James. James chapter 5 and verse number 16. James chapter 5 and verse number 16. The Bible says this, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. By the way, we talked about how that throughout the year of 2025, we're going to be talking about these one another's. What does the Bible say about one another's? How we could consider one another and things that we should be doing to treat others the way that we would like to be treated. Notice what he says, that we are to pray one for another. Now, in the context of this particular passage, he's talking about those that may be sick, those that may need healing. And so notice what he says at the end of this verse here. He says that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There is much power in the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now I know this is a statement that probably many have heard this morning. We've heard this little short statement that prayer changes things. But can I ask you to take that to heart and believe it, because it's true. Prayer changes things, doesn't it? And God is saying the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, I've heard people throughout my years of ministry say this statement. Well, God already knows what I have need of. Why do I need to pray about it? God's a God that's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He certainly knows what need I have physically, and He knows what need I have spiritually, and He knows what need I have financially, and He certainly knows the needs of all the others that I'm spending time praying for. Why do I have to present those to God? Because He wants to hear us pray, doesn't He? And He wants us to pray in an effectual way and a fervent way. And the Bible says as a result of that, it availeth much, doesn't it? What's He encouraging us to do in this passage of Scripture? He's saying that we ought to pray one for another. Now, before I move on to number two, number one, treat others prayerfully. Before I move on to number two, I want to give you two statements about treating others prayerfully. Number one, I'll say this, and I hope this will be an encouragement to you this morning. It should be a joy in your life as a Christian that you get to pray for one another. That should be one of the great joys of our life as a Christian, that we get to spend time praying for one another. But it also ought to be a great joy to our hearts when somebody asks us to pray for them. It ought to be a great joy. We shouldn't look at that as a burden. Well, that's one other thing I've got to add to my prayer list. No, it ought to be a joy when somebody comes up to us and says, hey, would you pray for me? I've got such and such coming up, or I've got such and such a need in my life. Or maybe they'll send you that in a form of a text message or an email or a letter or however correspondence you would receive that. And you would say, maybe it would be right in front of you face to face, and they're asking you to pray. We ought to consider it a joy when somebody says, hey, would you pray for me? I've got this need. I've got this burden. I've got this desire. And I'm asking you to spend time praying for me. As a Christian, that ought to be a joy. But then I'll go a step further and say it this way. It ought to be a joy to our hearts when we hear somebody say to us, they're praying for us. I don't know how we could describe, I'm sure everybody would probably give testimony to this, to describe the joy that you feel when you hear somebody say, hey, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. The joy that's in our hearts just knowing that somebody's praying. You know, one of the things I often consider about individuals that maybe have gotten to a place where physically they may not be able to do the things that they may have used to be able to do. Maybe they're at a place where things, again, energy level, maybe not what it used to be. But the thing is, there are so many individuals that maybe have gotten to that place in life, but they've just spent time, hour after hour, minute after minute, day after day, just spending time with the energy and the strength of prayer. And that ministry of prayer to lift others up. And I don't know how many times I've heard people say that to me. Hey, I just want to let you know I've been praying for you, and what joy is on my heart to know that others are praying for me. And I'll ask you this morning to consider that in your heart, that we would treat others prayerfully. But then let me ask you to consider this, number two. I want to encourage you in the Word of God this morning that God tells us, number two, we ought to treat others, number two, peacefully. Number one, we ought to treat others prayerfully, but number two, we ought to treat others peacefully. I want you to take your Bible, if you would, to turn to the book of Matthew. I know we've been in Matthew in several different times this morning already, but look with me, if you would, at Matthew chapter 5, and I want us to look at a verse that Jesus is speaking here in this verse, and he's giving what the Bible refers to as the Sermon on the Mount. As a matter of fact, this covers several chapters in the book of Matthew. He's giving this Sermon on the Mount. And the Bible tells us he gets to this place in chapter 5 of the book of Matthew where he's giving us these beatitudes, these things that really ought to be true of our lives, things that he's encouraging us to have in our lives. And notice what he says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 9. He says this, blessed are the, what does the Bible say there in verse 5? Verse number 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are those who have a desire to make peace. We ought to treat others peacefully. Now, would you take your Bible? We're going to take a quick journey and see what the Bible has to say about this subject of peace. I told our Sunday school class this morning that we're going to be touching on the subject of peace in the morning service. And so we mentioned it just briefly in Sunday school about the Bible lesson that we were dealing with. And I said I wasn't going to say too much because we're going to talk about it in the morning service. Well, here we are. We're going to talk about peace for a moment. Look with me, if you would, at what the Bible says in the book of Romans. So we're going to go to the book of Romans for a few minutes. And find with me, if you would, Romans chapter number 12. Again, we're journeying through the Bible this morning. Romans chapter number 12. And I want us to look quickly, if you would, with me at Romans 12 and verse number 17. Romans 12 and verse number 17. The Bible says this in Romans 12 verse 17. It says, recompense to no man evil for evil. All right, so the Bible's giving us a real, real quick challenge here. God gives to us a quick challenge. He's saying to us, just because somebody has treated you evilly, in an evil way, it doesn't mean that you are to treat them in an evil way. Not to retaliate, not to give them maybe what we would desire for them to have. He's saying vengeance, he says it in just a moment here, God, the vengeance is up to God, right? So he's saying don't repay evil with evil. Matter of fact, does that not go back to the golden rule? As ye would that men should do to you, do to them also. So he's saying if they treat you evil, he said don't return it with evil. Now notice what the Bible says in verse number 18. If it be possible. So he's saying it this way, as much as it is possible in our lives to do this. Look at what he says. He says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So as much as you have the ability to do that, as much as you have the strength to be able to do that in your lives, he's saying, be a peacemaker. Live at peace with how many men does he say? He says, live at peace with all men. Now, notice with me, if you would, verse number 19. He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, you know, there might be somebody that's sitting in here today, and by the way, we're going to touch on this in just a moment, so this will help us a little bit more in just a moment. But there might be somebody that would say, wait a minute, I find it challenging, I find it difficult, what God is asking me to do there, to live at peace with all men. The Bible says that we're to, as much as in us is, to live peaceably with all men, to get to a place where we're able to do that. Because we understand, as he says in verse number 19, that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. If somebody's mistreated us, if somebody's done wrong to us or harm to us, the Bible says, let that up to God, right? Let that up to God. And by the way, can I make a statement here? Sometimes it may be that as we are endeavoring to have peace with others around us, it could be just the case of saying, I need to give it a little time. And sometimes as time takes place in a situation or in the lives of others, one another, that we can get to the place where we have peace. But God is saying, always remember that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Now, would you skip a verse and would you look down at verse number 21? The Bible says this, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What's he encouraging us to do? That yes, there might be times where we may be treated in an evil way. To overcome that evil with good, find a way, as much as in you is, as much as lieth in you, he says, find a way to live peaceably. Now we're going to touch a little bit more on that in just a moment, but I'd like to ask you while you're in the book of Romans to turn over with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and look at what the Bible says in verse number 19. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 19, would you notice just the first part of this? It says this, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. What is he saying? He's saying, let's follow after those things that make for peace. Now, I'd like to encourage you this morning to do this. I'd like to encourage you to be a child of God, to be a Christian that treats others peacefully because of what is inside of us, or we'll say it this way, because of who is inside of us. At the moment of our salvation, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came to live within us. So who is living inside of us? That is God. How does the Bible describe God? The Bible describes God as the Prince of Peace, isn't he? Jesus, God's Son, God Himself is the Prince of Peace. And may we be encouraged to live peacefully, with others because of who lives within us. The Prince of Peace lives within us. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter number 5, it gives us a list of the fruit of the Spirit. In that list of the fruit of the Spirit are 9 character traits that God desires for us to have as a part of our lives. Fruit of the Spirit number 3. Character trait number 3. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. God says one of the character traits that I want to have that is evident in your life is this idea of peace. And can I say this? If we would ever get to the place where we would say, I do not believe it's possible. If you just understood the circumstance of this person I'm dealing with or this situation that I'm dealing with, you would have to say along with me, you would not believe that it would be possible to have peace or to treat others peacefully with this situation that I'm dealing with. But I want to encourage you from the scripture this morning, it is possible through God. It is possible through the Prince of Peace who lives within us. I want to share a couple verses with you. I'd ask you to turn there if you're able to. Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's notice how the Bible tells us that we can live with peace. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 14. The Bible says these words, for He is our peace. Now think about that this morning. Who is our peace? God is our peace. And because He is our peace, He gives us the ability to live peacefully with others that are around us. Then the Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7, as a matter of fact, the verse that comes right before that says this, that we're to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we're to make our requests made known unto God. And then he goes on after he says that we've made our request made known to God, and we're not to worry or be anxious or to have anxiety, but we're just to turn it over to Him. Then he says, and the peace of God, the Bible goes on in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7 says, will keep our hearts. The peace of God will keep our hearts. What does that word keep there mean? It's the picture, it's the idea of guarding our hearts. The peace of God will guard our hearts. Isn't it great to know that through Christ it is possible that the peace of God can guard our hearts, can keep our hearts? But then the Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15, for sake of time, I won't take time to turn there, we won't take time to look there. But in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15, the Bible encourages us that the peace of God can rule in our hearts. Now what does that word rule there mean? What do we mean when we say the peace of God can rule in our hearts? Now I'm a big sports fan. And I like watching sports. And one of the sports that's going to be starting here soon in the spring months is baseball. I love going to baseball games. I love watching baseball on television. And probably some of you that are sitting in here, you enjoy watching baseball. There's a man that stands behind home plate, right behind the catcher. And we call him an umpire, don't we? And what is that umpire doing? That umpire's maintaining control of the game, isn't he? He is ruling in that game. He's making the decisions. By the way, we don't always like what the umpire says, do we? But he's calling the strikes. He's calling the balls. He's calling the outs. He is maintaining control in that game. That's what that word in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15 means when it uses the word rule there. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, or the idea of God's peace is going to act like an umpire. It's going to act like an umpire. You say, oh, well, what do you mean by that? Well, the umpire maintains control in a game, doesn't he? What does the peace of God do in your life? It maintains control. It helps you to be able to live peaceably with others. By the way, when you would rather be angry, God's peace can rule in your heart. God's peace can be an umpire. It can act as an umpire, and it can maintain control. When you would rather respond with hatred, God's peace can rule in your heart and can act as an umpire and can maintain control in your life. When you would rather give somebody a piece of your mind, or maybe you'd get to a place where you'd say, well, that person, they got what was coming to them, and you're deciding the revenge or the vengeance that God says, I'm in charge of. See, that's when God's peace begins to rule and sets up itself as an umpire so that it can maintain control, just like an umpire maintains control of the baseball game. So to say that it's impossible to live peacefully with others is contrary to Scripture. Because God says we can have the peace of God that can keep or guard our hearts. By the way, guard our hearts again from doing that thing which would displease Him. It can rule in our hearts or act as an umpire so that it can maintain control in our lives. And then Jesus even gave the promise to us. If that's not enough, Jesus gave the promise to us in John chapter 14 and verse number 27. He said, when I go and I leave this earth and I go into heaven, I'm going to give you somebody that is going to give you and help you to have peace. Who was he referring to there? He was referring to the Holy Spirit, wasn't he? The Holy Spirit was going to come, and he was going to be one that was going to come to our side and give us the peace that we needed. And he even goes on in that verse to say this, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. It's not the kind of peace that the world's looking for. It's the kind of peace that only God can give. And he says, I'm going to give you that with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God in your lives. Can I encourage you to live, to treat others peacefully? Now, what are some things we're going to have to do to be able to do that? Well, we're going to have to get to a place where we control our words, right? Our words can get out of hand to the point where we're not living at peace with others. We're going to have to control our words. We're going to have to control our actions. We're not going to be able to act maybe perhaps in ways that we would like to act. Or maybe we'll say it this way, we got to control our reactions as well, don't we? The way we act, the way we speak, our reactions as well. We've got to maintain our attitude. And by the way, this is all possible through God. The Bible says who is able to keep, the peace of God is able to keep our hearts. It's able to rule our hearts as well and act for us and maintain control for us when fleshly speaking we may not want to. And fleshly speaking, we may not care whether we're living peacefully with others around us or not. But God can give us the strength and the ability to do that. Can I encourage you, number one, to treat others prayerfully? I'd like to encourage you this morning to treat others peacefully. I'll give you the last one this morning. I want to encourage you this morning to treat others patiently. To treat others patiently. I want you to notice some scripture on this. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. You may be nearby there already. Ephesians chapter number 4. God's word is encouraging us to treat others patiently. Now, one of the fruit of the Spirit. We already talked about the fruit of the Spirit, didn't we? Love, joy, peace. What's the next one? Long-suffering. Long-suffering. Now, how many of you, don't raise your hand. Please don't raise your hand for this. Just answer it in your heart this morning. How many of you struggle with patience from time to time? Don't answer it out loud. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you struggle with patience? We can battle that, can't we? Struggling with patience. We're living in a day in which we want things instantly, don't we? We don't want to have to wait for something. When we get into traffic, man, it can be a bother, can't it? We have to wait for our food at a fast food restaurant. That's why they call it a fast food restaurant, right? Because I'm supposed to get my food fast. And you mumble and you complain about it. But God says we got to get to a place in our life where we treat others patiently. We have long suffering. And oh, that God would work in our hearts with this. Oh, that God would help us to treat others around us patiently. But he gives us a real challenge here in Ephesians chapter 4. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. There it is. Patience with long suffering. Forbearing. Notice he says, forbearing one another in love. We're to forbear one another in love. Now, I told you there's a lot of passages of Scripture that have these two words, one another. And we're going to look at them and we're going to touch on them throughout the year of 2025. So we're going to get to see a lot of this in the Bible. This is one of these passages of Scripture. And by the way, later on in the year of 2025, we'll come back to some of these verses and we'll revisit them as we're thinking about things that God will challenge our heart with. It's this thought of considering one another and the one another's that are in the Bible. But here's one of them. The Bible says forbearing one another, to be patient with one another. This is what God is asking us to do. Can I draw your attention to what really this verse means? In context of this verse, what is he asking us to do? He's asking us to be patient with the weaknesses and the infirmities of others that are around us. And by the way, we ought to get to a place in our lives as Christians where we can have patience with the infirmities and the weaknesses of others around us, because guess what? We have them also. Every one of us have weaknesses. Every one of us have infirmities. Every one of us have struggles. We'll even use the word shortcomings. You know, I've said it so often, we have no trouble seeing the infirmities and the weaknesses and the shortcomings of others around us. But sadly, it can be so challenging to see the struggles that we face ourselves. Oh, we're patient with all of our weaknesses. We're patient with all of our shortcomings that people maybe from time to time are reminding us that we struggle with, and trying to do it, I trust, in a loving way. But they're trying to remind us, hey, this is something I believe God could have you to work on. And we don't want to always see it in our own lives. But God is saying, as we have weaknesses, as we have infirmities, as we have struggles, as we have shortcomings in our life, may we be willing to, and may we be able to, with God's help, to be long-suffering, to be patient, where we can patiently deal with the weaknesses and the infirmities and the shortcomings of others around us. And then notice what he says at the end of the verse now, the verse that we just read, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 2. At the end of the verse, he says this, in love, in love. Here's what he's asking us to do. While you are being patient with the infirmities and the shortcomings and the weaknesses of others around you, you're to maintain the love that you have for them at the same time. You're to be patient enough that you can deal with it and you can maintain the love that you have for that person that may have those challenges and struggles in their life that you're trying to be patient with, and maintaining that love along the way. Look at verse number 3. Notice this. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, isn't that a word we've already touched on today? We're to treat others peacefully. Now, what is he saying is going to happen if we are able to forbear or be patient with the weaknesses and the infirmities and the shortcomings of one another? Then we're going to be able to live in unity. Isn't that what God wants in the church? Doesn't he want his church to be in unity? So that we are in a spirit of unity with one another. We're loving one another the way that we should. And he asks us to do that. We just touched on peace. And he tells us this is the way that you can have peace. By being able to live with others patiently. Now, can I ask you to look at one last verse and we'll finish today, and I hope that God will use what's been given to you to encourage your heart of how we ought to treat others around us. Look at Colossians chapter 3 quickly. Colossians chapter 3, and let's notice what the Bible says in verse number 12. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 12, the Bible says this. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, those who are called of God. He says, put on holy and beloved, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. By the way, aren't you glad God showed mercy to you? We talked about it this morning in our Sunday school hour, that Lot was living in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Sodom and Gomorrah, God was going to rain fire and brimstone from Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible tells us the angel grabbed the hold of Lot's hand so that he would get out of the cities in Sodom and Gomorrah before the fire and brimstone rained down on those cities. And it said these words, God being merciful unto him. Aren't you glad that God is a merciful God, that he withholds from us that which we deserve? He is a merciful God. And the Bible says this is the way we're to respond to others in mercy. We're to withhold from them what we may feel like they deserve. Oh, if they just got what they deserved, if I could just give them what I feel like they deserve. But again, we could reverse it and they could treat us that way as well. So may we treat others the way that God would have us to treat, as the Bible says, treat others the way we would like to be treated ourselves. He says that we would respond with bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. There it is, patience. And now notice the first three words of verse number 13, forbearing one another. And then he goes a step further, which, by the way, we're going to touch on these. We're going to touch on these throughout the year of 2025, because here's another one another. It is amazing how many times these two words, one another, come up in the Bible. He's saying here we're to forbear one another, or we're forbearing one another, and we have to be willing to forgive one another. Now, we're going to touch on this later this year as well. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32, God tells us that we are to be kind and we're to be forgiving one to another. Why? Because God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. He's forgiven us. And as a result of that, we ought to, as children of God, as Christians, we ought to be able to respond that same way, just as Christ forgave us, that we would be able to forgive others. Now, I'm encouraging you this morning to treat others prayerfully. I'm encouraging you this morning to treat others peacefully. May we be praying for one another. May we be peacemakers and responding with one another with peace, knowing that God, as our helper, can give us the strength that we need to do that when situations seem challenging, or if you only understood what I had to deal with. Nope, God can help us. He's talked about that. He can keep our hearts. He can rule in our hearts. And then I'm encouraging you this morning to get to a place where you treat others patiently as well. Now, we are certainly not done with this, because throughout the year of 2025, we're going to dive into it, and we're going to see what God's Word has to say about this main theme, considering one another, how God wants us to respond to those that are around us. We talked about how He wants us to respond to the lost, how He wants us to respond to other believers. And some of the ways that we've learned today that we need to respond is to be prayerful and to make sure that we're peaceful and to make sure that we are patient with others, their shortcomings, their weaknesses, knowing that we have struggles as well. Now, can I say this right before I close? I didn't make mention of it in the message this morning, but there may be somebody that's sitting here today that's never made peace with God. We talked about peace, but there may be somebody that's sitting here today that's never made peace with God. And you may be asking the question, wait a minute, he says we can have peace with God. What does that mean? What would that look like for me to have peace with God? Well, it's to get to a place in your life where you've trusted in Him as your Savior and your hope of heaven. And because of that, you have the peace that God gives to you as a result of that decision you've made for Him, with Him. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that's never trusted Christ as their Savior. You've come to the service today, but you've never come to the Savior, and you'd have to be honest enough to say, if I slipped out of this auditorium this morning and there'd be something that would happen where my life would come to an end, I don't know for sure that I'd spend eternity with Christ. There's only two places we'll spend eternity, either in heaven with Christ or in hell separated from Him for all of eternity in a place of punishment. And so if you've never made peace with God, I would encourage you to do that this morning if God's speaking to your heart. There'd be somebody in our church who would love to take the Bible and show you some verses in the Bible from Scripture that tell us how that God loved us so much in spite of our sin that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in our place and to offer for us forgiveness. to pay the price for our sin, a price that we could not pay for ourselves. He did something for us we could not do for ourselves. And I encourage you this morning not to rely on something you do to get you to heaven, but rely on something that's already been done. How can you know that today? The Bible says you've got to get to a place where you acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner, that you've done things and said things and thought things that have displeased God. You've got to understand that God punishes sin. And that punishment that we deserve is to be separated from God for all of eternity. And we can't pay the price for that. We can't have forgiveness in something that we do on our own. But God loved us so much that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. His Son came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross and He shed His blood to pay the price, to do something for us that we could not do for ourselves. And the Bible says we've got to get to a place where we acknowledge our sin. We believe that He died for us and He was buried and He rose again. And we call out by faith to Him. The Bible says, confessing with our mouth, believing with our heart, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you've never done that and you call out to Him today, if He's speaking to your heart, you can have peace with God. And it can help you to live a life where you're treating others prayerfully and you're treating others peacefully and you're treating others patiently. If you've never been saved, would you please in just a moment respond? I'll be here at the front. Let me know that. I know it'll take a step of courage, but let me know that and we'll have somebody take the Bible and take you to a quiet place and show you how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. And then as a child of God, may God have encouraged your heart today in some way to live treating others prayerfully. Maybe you'd like to ask God to help you to become more of a prayer warrior. Maybe you'd like to establish a prayer list for others and you'd put their names on a list and establish that and say, I'm going to be praying for others. Maybe God's encouraged you today to live peacefully. And maybe you've even gotten to a place where, as I talked about in the message, you feel like it's almost impossible. If you just understood the situation I was dealing with or the person I'm dealing with, it's certainly hard to live peacefully. But through God, we can do it, can't we? And so may we ask Him for His help to live peacefully and then live patiently with others that are around us. That we would be able to, not necessarily always overlooking things that are problem areas in people's lives, but we can respond the way Christ would. Sure, there might be conversations that we may have to try to help others that are around us, but understanding that people are going to go through infirmities and weaknesses and shortcomings, and we patiently deal with them, don't we? And may we ask God to help us with that. Father, thank You this morning for the message from the Word of God.